Facing challenges and overcoming setbacks is part of doing business. Whether you have the expertise to survive them or not could mean the difference between success or failure. Welcome to We Are Women, featuring revealing conversations that provide invaluable insights into the success secrets of female masterminds. A must listen for every entrepreneurial woman. Now here's your host, Janine Vosper.
Hi, it's Janine Vosper, and welcome to this episode of the We Are Women podcast. I have the sensational Shannon Chubler from all the way from Portland with us, and she is a pain specialist and a practicing acupuncturist, wellness coach, and holistic healing practitioner. She has over 25 years of experience helping people transform their relationship with pain and well-being. Inspired by her own recovery from severe injury, she blends ancient healing wisdom with modern science to guide others in reconnecting with their bodies, restoring balance, and embracing their full potential. Her journey as a medical provider, along with raising two boys, one with Down syndrome, has allowed her to have more understanding of the complexities that life has to offer. Welcome, Shannon.
Thank you. Wonderful to be here.
And I'm going to say welcome again. Shannon and I have just had the most amazing conversation for an hour. And then I realized that I hadn't pushed the record button. We're having another conversation. It's going to be just as amazing. Thank you, listeners. You're not going to hear this twice, but we may be repeating ourselves. And then I'm always wondering, have I already said that? Am I repeating myself? But it might be part of the conversation. So if you are listening and you're wondering why we might be laughing about some different points, it may come up that that's exactly why we're doing that. But laughter's good, isn't it, Shannon?
Yes, technology is hilarious, but laughter is very good, yes.
You have such an interesting story. I'm going to let you tell, because you talk about severe injury and the recovery. So I'm going to leave it to you to tell us your story.
Thanks. So my story, I suppose, began long ago with, I was actually a modern dancer, and I was in a rehearsal where the choreographer had us all like connected to bungee cords, and one slipped and I landed on my neck, and boom, my whole career shifted. So I had this dream of, you know, becoming a professional modern dancer and getting into a company, and that shifted. My neck really, really was injured quite badly. I ended up getting a fusion of C4 and C5. And in the process, like prior to that surgery, I was in huge amounts of pain, which, you know, as a dancer, I manage pain pretty good. And so this was like 10 out of 10 pain. I couldn't even like stand up properly. But then after the surgery, I still was having this lingering nerve pain. And someone said, you should go see an acupuncturist. And I said, oh, what? They said, go see an acupuncturist. So I did. And within three treatments, my pain was gone. And I was fascinated by this medicine. I thought, okay, this is an interesting thing. And I've always loved science. I was really big into dance, kinesiology, and just science in general. So I decided to not try and be a dancer anymore. I said, okay, that's it. I'm going to go be an acupuncturist. I mean, there's more of a story to it. My acupuncturist that I was seeing at the time was like, you need to be an acupuncturist. Like, you ask more questions than the average human. So you should go do that. So I did. And I love what I do. I absolutely love what I do. The beautiful part is that I now have a career that is sustainable until I'm very old, whereas dance was not that possibility. So this is a good thing. So that's where I am now.
That the challenges, and there's been a few there, and I know there's some other challenges you've had along the way, but that's a big deal, isn't it, to, you know, have something so life-changing. And I imagine you were quite young when that happens, and so it's even more traumatic when you're younger. They're going, what else am I going to do? How am I going to do it? And that you sort of made the journey, oh well, I had the operation, I had pain, and then I went and saw an acupuncturist. Like an easy sort of process, but it wouldn't have been, would it?
No, it wasn't at all. It was definitely life changing. And I think there are, three big things in my life that have been very transformative for me. Asking me to go, oh, what are you going to do about this? And how are you going to respond? And this was the first one, because I had this vision of what I thought my life was going to be as a dancer. And then all of a sudden, it wasn't going to happen. And yet, this is the beauty of life, right? That something so horrible turned into something that is just such a blessing, because I love what I do. And so it you can't see it until later. But at the time, we're like, this is the most horrible thing. And so, as we get older and we have perspective, but it was the best thing that could have happened to me. I don't know if I would have landed up in an acupuncturist's office otherwise, right?
Yeah,
And
that it's interesting, isn't it? Going, okay, we'll just shut that door. We'll open up another door for you and see whether you take action here. And obviously that you did. And that's where you're meant to be. And then you've created, a business, a life. It's not just that you love, and you can continue, as you said, you can continue doing to any age because you know how to do it. I'm always been a fan of acupuncture, and I went back for some acupuncture recently, and the person I went to, he said, I looked it up and said, oh, last time you were here was 2009. So it was, I have had it since with a couple other people, but he's a Chinese medicine guy as well. So I really trust what he does. So yes, he's been doing it for quite a while as well. And what I found I quite liked, he did laser as also. And I know that you mentioned that that's something that you do because sometimes when you talk acupuncture, people go, oh, the needles. And particularly, he was doing it in my feet. So the rest of the body had the needles, but the feet had laser. Thank you very much.
I work with a lot of kids, right? So that's one of my specialties is I work with teenagers. I love working with teenagers, actually. So I came up with this whole type of treatment that I call needle-free acupuncture. And I use press points, and I use these things called Shonishin and all these different fun things that I can still get to the same place, but without putting one needle in particularly. But I'll tell you what, 100% of them go to acupuncture. Once they are comfortable with me and the process and what it means, they're always curious, well, is it going to hurt? And I always say, well, I'll tell you what, people wouldn't come back if it hurt. And so they come back all the time. And so they're like, oh, that's a good point. And I end up treating their families, because their parents are like, oh, my child is kind. This is great. What are you doing?
And the difference is it's drug free, which is so important. And that's something I haven't ever asked about acupuncture. Does it then train the body if say you've got back pain and you've got the points of being, you've had acupuncture, does it then the body remember how to fix it through the nerves?
Acupuncture is brilliant, in my opinion, for two major things. Number one, it decreases inflammation in the body. And we know now that inflammation is like the problem with everything. It's like there's too much inflammation, actually, is great until it's not, right? It can be protective, but then it turns. And so, what acupuncture does is it really helps balance out that inflammation response. The other thing that it does is it sets the body into what's called the parasympathetic nervous response. So our sympathetic system is fight and flight and, always going. Very important to have, if you're being chased by a Bengal tiger, but we now tend to have it more. But the parasympathetic system helps with rest and relax and digest. So what we know is that when the body goes into this state of reduction of inflammation, a place of the parasympathetic nervous system relaxing, the body comes into balance. Now, mind you, I'm using Western terms here, right? So an acupuncturist is going to use a whole different term around chi and blood and different points and all of that. But what I do believe happens is that the body does remember. So, it's like these whole new fun terms now called neuroplasticity,
Yes.
which is that our body remembers, right? So our body remembers chronic pain, right? Which, we'll talk about in a little bit. My new course is all about supporting chronic pain. And so the body actually remembers chronic pain. And then we put new information in, and the body goes, oh, right, we don't need to feel pain so much. So that's what happens with acupuncture, is new information is going into the whole nervous system, and it is lasting. I don't think that it's lasting after one treatment. I think the body needs to have multiple treatments to really get that shift.
Yeah,
So.
yeah, yeah. And that's, yeah, that just makes a lot of sense. And that sort of, I know you've used the term balance a bit, but putting things back in balance, is that what
Yeah,
that's?
that's the basis I would say of this type of medicine is, the idea of yin and yang, right? Which is within the system, and that our bodies always want some sort of balance, right? And we will always have something in the body that is doing its job and another one opposing it, right? This parasympathetic nervous system, sympathetic nervous system, for an example. But it's just that whole process of keeping something so one doesn't have too little or one doesn't have too much. So does that make sense?
Yeah,
It's
that definitely makes sense. Now, we talked about challenges and overcoming challenges. You've had more than one challenge along the way, which is, and this is something that I the reason, not just to highlight yours specifically, but this happens in life. It's just what it's called life, and it's what happens, and then how we deal with it is the important factor, isn't it?
Yeah. So, I think the second thing that was very life-changing for me was when my son with Down syndrome was born. I actually didn't know until after he was born. And it was, again, all of us were like, oh, I'm going to have a family, and this is what it's going to look like, right?
Yeah.
And that didn't happen. But what happened was this beautiful soul. My older son is a beautiful soul too, by the way. He's taught me plenty. And my younger son, different type of teaching. And if I learned anything from him coming into my life, it would be one, patience. And like I've said, in the past, I really like to have like my ducks in a row. I like to have my checklists and things in order and very time conscious. And he just tore that to pieces. And all of the things that I was trying to do in my life to feel in control, he tore that apart. And all the things that were all of my insecurities, all anything, he was like, here, let me shine a flashlight on that for you. And so you can just take a look at it and see how that's going for you. And so, I just recently met a mom whose son was 6 years old and has special needs. And she says, what's your advice? And I said, well, if I could just say that I think that it's really important to look at this spiritually also. Because, sometimes people come into our lives to teach us something. And if we fight that teaching, it just makes it harder, as opposed to saying, oh, okay, so this is just part of my path. And I'm going to just see how I can work with that. So.
And that's That is such an important aspect, and not even just for yourself, but also for your husband and your older son. I mean, what a gift for him to be learning that through his life. And I'm imagining, you know, that learning of patience, but also compassion and being open to different ways of doing things, you know, that things just don't. I'm a control person too, Shannon. You know, I'm not a perfectionist under any circumstances, as we learned, because this is the second recording and conversation.
Right.
But control has always been in something that I like to be in control of. And it was interesting. I'll get off topic here for a moment, but it's on this theme. I went to see somebody for some guidance and had a conversation with my guides, with her, and we came up with, yes, control's the issue, Janine. Did you not notice that yourself? And that's immediately following visiting her, I went to visit a friend in hospital, and he drinks, doesn't coffee, drank hot chocolate, and he'd been injured in a car accident. So I knew I'd already visited him before. I knew exactly where he was. I had two hot chocolates in my hand, and I've gone to his floor, and he's not there. And then I realize it's the wrong floor, and I could not remember the floor he was on. And the floor that I went onto was, it was to do with brain injury, and it had silence signs everywhere, and my phone starts ringing. There's nowhere to put the cups of hot chocolate. I'm on the wrong floor, couldn't remember where he was, and the phone is ringing loudly and everyone's looking at me. And I thought, thank you for that. That was a lesson in something I cannot control.
Right.
Was immediate. Have you got it? I'll put you in this situation.
But I love, it's important though, what you just said was, and not having the shame and the like hammering yourself, like, oh dear. Okay. Thank you. Right. I shared the story the first time around, which was fun, was I think when my son was younger. We'd gone into a store and I was busy trying to shop, and he's next to me, and next thing you know, he's running down the aisle, just like dumping, everything, but laughing hysterically and joyfully. Like he thought this was just like he was in a play gym. And I was mortified, right? People are staring at me, and I was like, this is terrible. I'm not a perfect human. I'm not a good mom. Can't even control my son. And so then, but whatever, for whatever reason, I saw how much joy he was having, and I started to laugh. And I said, okay, honey, now we're gonna have to have as much joy putting it back, right? But then I had to let go of, like, sorry, I'm not gonna be there for an hour. It's like, I got to learn how to go with the flow more. I
Yes.
got to learn how to, I became stronger definitely as a human, because, there's judgment sometimes, and I just, he made me stronger as a human, in different ways.
Yeah, so that's another gift that you, and a lesson that you possibly needed to learn on this earthly plane as well, is how to, and I imagine that strength has helped you make other decisions in your life as
Very
well.
much so. I became more confident, raising him, making decisions and how to, do things. And so, I mean, I suppose that leads me into like the third, because that leads into my business part, which is that, the third thing that was so transformative me and just devastating was the ending of my marriage. Right? Because I always, I saw myself as a wife and a mom, like, and I was so proud of that identity. And but I didn't realize that that was the only identity that I thought I was gonna get. Like, I didn't realize that I also had, because I had actually got my degree and I practiced, and then I pulled back from it to be mom and stay home, which I don't regret. I loved being with my children. However, there was something apparently brewing inside of me that was like, yeah, you have to do more in this world. Sorry. You know, when everybody has a different path, but you know, as I started to grow and I started to have a voice in a different way, you know, it created a bit of a reckoning. And yeah, it was devastating, devastating. It so much guilt, so much upset on what do I choose, right? You know, I love the analogy that, you know, we have to put a mask on ourselves in a plane before we can put it on the child. And I think that that analogy has led me through life now, which is, am I in the equation? Am I nurturing myself and not seeing it as selfish, which is often the judgmental case?
Yeah, and I was, I think it was, yes, it was an article, a book I was reading with Brené Brown, and she was talking about how women find value in themselves by how good a parent they are, and also by how they look. And men find value in themselves by how they provide for their family, or how, what their career or work is, and that's their first thing that they'll find value on. So it becomes that now the modern woman is now going, you know what, I've got a lot to offer, and I want to be able to share that with the world, because it, and it's quite selfish not to, you know, I, for what you do. And this is something I you know, people might be a little confronted with that language, but if I don't do what I'm doing, I can't affect people's lives. And so I'm really letting other people down. And this is where I want people to get to is don't, you know, it's very easy to feel guilt and shame. You know, we do it quite easily. But it's that switch it up. Go, how many people are you letting down by not doing what you're meant to be on this earthly plane to do?
Yeah, I love that.
And it's so important to recognize that. One of the podcasts, and I think I've mentioned this maybe a couple of times on other podcasts, but I was somewhere, and it just as a random, I was traveling about 6,000 kilometers from where I live, and something popped up on a phone, and the person that was working at the information sent us, it was my Gmail address, it was wearewomen@gmail. She said, oh, I listened to that podcast. And I've gone, oh, I'm Janine. So she did the whole fan thing, and both in tears. And she said, it's changed my life. Now, she said, I've learned to say no. I've moved to a different town. I've got all this going on in my life that's so positive now. And that's not me. It's my guests. It's the conversations. It's her taking action, listening to podcasts. It's the whole thing and taking action to change her life. But I didn't know that ripple went that far. And that's why it's so important, as you said, you know, even though you felt the guilt and felt terrible about what you putting priority on what you need to be doing in the world, it's understanding that it's so important to find what is of, and we didn't talk about this in the first interview, so you're getting it better now, is different, not better, but the values. What's your highest values, and then how do you interpret that into your life, as to, you know, how do you apply that? And if you're not doing that, then you're not feeding your soul, but you're not sharing your gift with the world as well.
Yeah, and the more of us that do that, the better the world, right? I mean, and that is actually why I do the work that I do, is to help. It's like I could say, oh, I'm helping you get rid of pain. No, not really. I'm actually hoping that people just feel better in their bodies, in their beings, in their whole full selves. Because when we feel that way, then we actually start to live the lives that are fulfilling. And that's different for every single human, right? Every single soul has their own path. And so that is, and if we feel, if there is something that is keeping us from that, then that's what we get to explore. So yeah, it's values. I like what you were just saying, like that we
Yes.
practice
And
and
as you said, your path has changed quite a few times and it's led you to be doing what you're doing now. And paying attention to that, Shannon, is so important. It's not blocking it, recognizing what feels right as well. And owning that truth is so important also.
Yeah.
Because you're not true to yourself. I've got opinions. Ask me. There's lots of them. And I can be political also. But if I've had people come to me and say, I don't agree with you, Janine, but your authenticness, is that a word? Comes across. And I want to work with you because I know within you there is a truth. And that way, I'm working with someone that I can trust. So
Yes.
being able to have that and being able to be true to yourself is probably the most important thing that we can do in life.
I agree. It's a being, I always say, being, are you a part of the equation? That's the term I use a lot. Like, are you, like, in your life, are you a part of the equation? Or are you not? And when we learn what our how we are the equi you know in our life and how we fit in it, then we get to have a fuller life. So
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing is having that joy and fullness in life is where what we want, rather than just doing every day and being in and but being instead. It's and recognizing that we don't have to continue making the choices that we've always made. It's stand back and look and go, okay. Probably wasn't a good choice, but how can I adjust it, or what do I want? What's important?
yeah, I think that leads to like the conversation we were having the first go around, which I really loved, was about the idea of, when do we lead and when do we listen and follow, right? When do we learn to be in an active mode of being in the world and doing the things in our lives that need to be done? And when do we learn to actually just be in a place of listening and a place of being? That lets us know what our next step is supposed to be.
I love the way you phrase that. Also, is balance of being a leader or a listener, and recognizing when's the right time to do that. And that's part of the work you do with the chronic pain workshops, isn't it?
It is. So I have a little bit of a different perspective on pain. I know pain. I mean, like, I've been doing this a long time, and that's what I do. I see people of varying degrees who have pain, and everybody experiences pain differently. I will tell you that, right? And more, and the reason why I developed my course, Pathways to Pain Relief, is because it's more about our relationship to the pain, more than trying to get rid of the pain. I started to see that a lot of times chronic pain, people see pain as the driver, right? Pain is something that gets to dictate my whole life. It gets to tell me how I'm going to be. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Okay. Let's get you in the driver's seat. Let's figure out how, like, it doesn't mean that you're gonna, like, your pain's gone. Someone who has endometriosis, that's hard, right? Like, anything, migraines, anything you want to talk about that has chronic
Plantar
plantar fasciitis. I mean, yeah, I treat a lot of that. And so
fasciitis.
it's about how do we step into the driver's seat and start to go, what is my relationship to pain? And when I talk about pain, it's not just about physical pain. It's about emotional pain. It's about spiritual pain. It's about whatever. It's like pain. How somebody experiences pain. And then how can we learn new skills to hold that and have more power in how we heal from it.
Yes, and as somebody who has chronic pain with plantar fasciitis, and some, it's interesting. I've had this a couple of times over 40 years, Shannon, and I know it goes away. No, I'm just waiting for that moment this time. But, you know, trying everything to see, that's the control person in me. So I've, you know, done multiple acupuncture. That helped, definitely helped relieve it for a period. Braces, TENS machines, physiotherapy, chiropractic, supplements. You know, and natural anti-inflammatories, and you know, a whole lot of different things, and I'm still not in control of the pain.
Yeah. Isn't that important? Like, I think that's such a important piece to discover about ourselves and pain, right? A couple of years ago, I went through severe low back pain, like debilitating, actually. It was bizarre. It was menopause. I think that there was just such a shift in my hormones and estrogen that my SI joints, these, you know, my low back, I couldn't stand up in the morning. I literally was crooked, and I had to go through this whole process with myself, which was a complete and utter annoyance that I couldn't just get up and start my day. Mm. I had to actually stand up, go back to the ground, and I started to do these types of movements to strengthen. And then I had to be with myself and what was going on, right? And then slowly, slowly start. It slowed me way down, and I didn't like it.
No.
But it actually was so transformative for me because it helped me embody myself. I love this word, in a different way. Where I was like, oh, okay, so, and even with my kids, because I was like, hi, so you're gonna need to make your own lunches, right? Whereas I was like, what do you need? What do you want? I was like a chef. And I had to ask for help. I had to do things differently. And it really did change things for me in my life.
That's really interesting. Asking for help is a big thing that, you know, women, we aren't good at, because if we show that we're not good at doing that, then it's letting, again, some of that shame in. If we can't do something that we're supposed to be able to, my mother could do it, why can't I do it? Well, your mother didn't have a job and study and all the life pressures and social media and everything else that's going on that you have in your life. Give yourself a break is an important factor. Yes, letting to control with the pain. Because we've already had that one conversation around this, and I think it's probably good for me to have the second conversation, so it might even work its way through a little bit more to let it go, Shannon. And how am I going to do that? Tell me.
Wow. Okay. I think there's layers. I do. I think that there's I do believe that chronic pain is it's complex, right? And yet it's simple. There's both parts to it. What I mean complex is that there's biology, and then there is also emotion, and there is a lot of emotion attached to chronic pain. Very few humans do not have an emotional attachment to chronic pain. Now, you know, even if you're looking at an athlete, right, where they tear their hamstring, oh my gosh, devastated. And they are going to work as hard as they can to get back. They're going to go through so much pain, right, to get back to where they were. Well, what if they don't, right? So again, this pain is somehow the leader. They are the dictator of your life. Mm. And so I think that it's there's layers of, you know, just understanding about power structure, about any sort of trauma, physical, emotional, that we may have had in our lives, and how chronic pain sneaks in and starts to take over. So I think that Some of the ways that I work with people is one, just getting really clear on what your relationship to the pain is. Like really getting clear on it. How do you see it? Like that's what we do in the course, you know. You figure it out what it is and where it came from and what you want from it. And what would happen if you couldn't get rid of it? What if you couldn't get rid of it? Like what if
Yeah,
there
as a big walker, that's for me, it's bad enough for 6 months of that.
Right.
Yeah.
So what would have to change in the system flow? What would have to flow differently so that we no longer were fighting forward and it needs to be this way? Okay, I have chronic pain. Okay, I'm on the ground and I'm rolling around and I'm not happy about it, but you know what? I'm going to take care of myself. Maybe I wish I could walk, and you know what? I am going to walk again. But I'm going to maybe ride a bike, or I'm going to go swimming, or I'm going to do a little yoga, or I'm going to do enough walking, and then I'm going to stop. Right? We start to be easier on ourselves. That is the thing that is important. So something I want to add in that science has discovered is that a brain that has been in chronic pain has forgotten how to self-soothe. That is why so many people with chronic pain don't want to get off the couch. One,
Yeah,
they're like,
I get absolutely get that now.
right?
It's made me lazy.
Well, but you see,
Well,
there's a
not lazy
judgment
work,
there.
but lazy.
Right. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Yes, I see. Yeah, you're not
Netflix.
a lazy human. You're not a lazy human. But your brain says, are you crazy? If you go down that and you start walking down the street, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt you more, and then you're not going to sleep well, and then you know what it's going to do? You're hurting, and then you're annoyed, and then you're mad that you can't do what you want to be doing. And so it's like this
You
whole
inside
thing.
my head.
It's really, I mean, it's quite interesting.
Yeah.
And so then I'm just going to avoid it. And then the body just starts to get afraid. More fear comes to the forefront. So, I talk about this with people with such honestly love and kindness because there is absolutely zero judgment when I'm like, listen, you've managed chronic pain for your life. How do you want to take care of yourself? Because you need to be in the driver's seat. And I know that you want a fuller life. What can you do to change that? Which means we have to push the edges a little bit. We have to push our emotional edges, we have to push our physical edges. In a way that, okay, I'm coming back. So.
I definitely am reevaluating the level of control I have on my pain. Thank you. And yes, I think I needed to hear that twice. So it's all good. One of the methods you did mention before was breathing was a great way to do
Yes,
that.
okay.
Yeah.
Right, we were talking about like how do we take the body into a parasympathetic nervous response, right? Because we know that the fight and flight, that adrenal sympathetic response, actually keeps us in a pain loop. It keeps the brain and the body in a pain loop, the memory of fear, the memory of the pain. So when we allow the body to go into a more restful state, it's as if a door or a window opens and we have opportunity and we have possibility. So one that I like to tell people to do, it is so simple. Write yourself a little post-it note, right? And put it on your refrigerator, put it on your steering wheel, put it, on your computer. And you're just gonna take four breaths in through your nose. Hold your breath. But as you're holding your breath for about 6 seconds, you're relaxing your shoulders and your body, and then you're breathing out through your mouth for about 6 to 8 counts. And the trick is you want to breathe enough to where you actually feel a little bit of a tightness, in that solar plexus area, because that's then going to shift the vagus nerve response. So doing that with 3 times in 4 counts, hold your breath, relax, breath out. It resets that vagus nerve and it resets the brain so that you can actually go on to your next thing with a different perspective.
Yes, no, I love that. I've got the post-it notes out already and I'm ready to pop them around as reminders. I
I
was
have them.
watching our football team on the weekend and there was a crucial moment in the game and they just scored and there was a chance that if they kicked the goal, they were going to win the game and it was a preliminary final. And I noticed all the other players were in a circle and they were all breathing. They were just taking nice, release, slow, strong breaths in while all the pressure's on the captain to kick the ball. But they were taking that moment rather than, because it had been very intense, it's 3 minutes to go in the game and they were losing all game and then they end up winning. So there's this intensity, but so instead of just being out on the field hyped, they took this time to take breaths. So obviously someone had been working with them as a breath coach and to really take down that the adrenaline of the moment and just be. I was just blown away actually that they were doing
And just like people who smoke cigarettes, right? When I'm helping people quit smoking, I tell them, okay, you know what you're really doing? You're like taking a breath in and a breath out. So you're taking a breath break. And
Yeah.
so if you can, get rid of a cigarette, right? And get yourself a crayon or something else and just take big, deep breaths and see if it makes a difference.
That just
Right.
makes so much sense. I yes. When you think about it, it's exactly what they're doing. So it's not the nicotine at all. It's the breathing.
Well, nicotine does other things, right? It's really great focus and all this, but actually for relaxing, no. But people say they feel relaxed because they got to have that nicotine, but sometimes you're actually breathing, so you're going into a breathing response. So who's to say what's actually relaxing you?
Definitely. And living with chronic pain, because you're working and you work particularly a lot with teenagers and their families, as you mentioned before, in getting them used to acupuncture, which I think is very cool because it can be daunting for people. I'm going to put needles in and not realizing whether it hurts or not.
No, the teenagers are amazing. I wish I would have had this as a young age, right? Think about I love working with these kids who are learning self-care at a young age. I often will get a text from a parent saying, so and so has asked them for a treatment. They say they need a tune-up, right? Because that's the term I use with them. Tell them, come back when you need a tune-up. And it's like of course they love to feel relaxed. Kids are so stressed out these days, more than I think we were when we were their age. Like, it's just they know so much, right? I didn't know what was happening on the other side of the world when I was in high school, right? I kind of did, but not to the extent that our kids do. And so to learn to just really relax the system is good. The other thing that I think acupuncture does for younger kids is it creates bravery, right? It creates a brain of trying something new and not being afraid of that, and that they get over their fears. So the kids that come in that are terrified of it, I do my whole, needle-free acupuncture treatments, and then whenever they're ready, we'll try one, right? They'll be like, but that didn't even hurt. I'm like, no, that's because it doesn't hurt, right? People wouldn't come back if it hurt, right?
Yes,
I
absolutely.
mean, it depends upon your acupuncturist. I'm not saying there are some acupuncturists, I'm sure, who, have a heavy hand. But in general, it doesn't hurt that
No,
much.
no. It's been rare. I've had an odd one where I've gone, oh, that's
You're
not.
like, did not like that.
No, not in a good spot at all. But that's been, yes, very rare. That's, yeah, I hadn't even thought about that bravery component. And it is, it's a much more stressful world. I mean, the media, we're just bombarded 24/7 with media. And it's hard enough for adults to discern what's accurate, what's not accurate, let alone teenagers to do that. It's and plus they had COVID, they had lockdowns, they had all of that sort of stuff as well, which was never in our realm of reality. You know, if we just played outside, played sports, and if we didn't like somebody, well, then they were in our school, or we went home, and then they would. It didn't matter. You never had to deal with them. It's very, very different.
Very different what our children navigate right now. But they were born for this time, and I believe that they are able to navigate this time. We can't compare them to our time. I say that in a way that is like, well, you know, my brain wasn't from a child from the 1950s, right? So their brains are in the present moment. However, we know that we still need to have self-care techniques, right, to support them.
And yeah, that's an interesting point, especially when we're looking at, you know, souls having human experiences. They've come prepared for it, and it's I've talking to my 7-year-old granddaughter, and she was watching some YouTube stuff, and I said, you have to be mindful that not everything you see is real. Some of it's not real, and some of it is. And I said, the best way is to be curious and ask questions rather than just taking things as they say. So it's just hopefully, you know, getting things through, because I think that's one of my favorite things. One of my highest values is curiosity. I just don't believe anything I'm until I find out more information about it and look at it from a few different sides, and go, well, mainstream media, they just tell us what that they're paid to tell us, or and that's so that's hitting their brains as well, and it's how they deal and function with that. Off track again, but always interesting. We could be here. We could have a third one, Shannon. Cover a whole lot of different topics as well.
Find different ones.
Before we wrap up, you've got three takeaways.
Okay, three takeaways. Balance is our superpower, truly. And I think as women, a lot is asked of us, right? A lot more. A lot of asked of men too. I understand that, and I'm not negating that. However, I do believe that women, it's like we want to work, and then we're expected to also then take care of other things at the same level, right? Mm-hmm. And we do. Most women are like, fine, I got it, right? So balance is our superpower. And when an individual figures out what they need in their life for balance, then you will figure out how your life feels better. Now, you know, different ages, different stages, a mom with young kids, very different than a woman who's just gone through menopause, right? Energy, probably low for both of those people, but in different ways. But so what's the balance piece? And so getting really curious as an individual, how to stay balanced in your life, and that's your superpower. I would say that transformation is like also a superpower, being open to it, that again and again, no matter how old we are, until we're, you know, much older in our lives, we will always be transforming. And that the more that we leave the door open without judgment and shame of like, oh, look, I'm transforming into this now, or this no longer works in my life, you know, and getting support from, you know, coaches, from family, friends, so that you can go through that transformation, I think is really important.
Having grandchildren has definitely transformed, and because mine is so widespread in ages as well, and there, and then some steps have come in now also, which bring in different values and different ways to see the world. You have to transform. Go with the flow, Janine. No control.
I know. And that would be my third one. Like the third takeaway is what we said earlier is getting really comfortable with when you're leading and when you need that leading energy, and when it's time to actually follow. And when I mean follow guidance of however, like being quiet, and getting not having to always be in that place of pushing. So.
Yeah, that's absolutely so important. How can people get in touch with you, Shannon?
My website's great, right? I think you're going to have it in the link, but it's authentichealingpdx.com. And there's a contact me page there. If you have any questions about my course, which is also linked on my website, or what I do, or the coaching that I love working with, I work with people actually all over the place, with just supporting them with chronic pain. And anything else health and wellness based. So,
Yeah, excellent. And yes, everything will be in the show notes as well. So if you want to get in touch with Shannon, you'll know where to find it. Thank you so much. Thank you. And I really do thank you for giving me the extra time to do the second interview
was great,
as
actually. It
well.
was fun doing that.
It was. We covered different things. We could have nearly merged if someone had remembered to record the first one. That would have. Thank you so much, Shannon.
Thank you.
And that's another episode of the We Are Women podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. And I look forward to you letting me know feedback, whether you do so through on YouTube or any of your favorite podcast channels. Just give some feedback on what might have been a highlight or a point or some takeaway that you've had from listening to this podcast. Go to JeanineBosper.com and book a complimentary strategy call, and I can't help you achieve the results that you are looking for in your business or in your life, then I've got a lot of amazing women from around the world that I can direct you through to. So have a fabulous day, week, month, wherever you are in the world. I look forward to you joining me next time on the We Are Women podcast. Bye-bye for now.
So, do you feel stuck in a rut in business? Visit speechperfect.com.au and download Janine's free ebook to avoid the five most common stumbling blocks women face in business. It's jam-packed full of tips to overcome the barriers that could be holding you back from the success that you dream your business will be. We would love you to leave a review of today's episode and share this podcast with other women in need of entrepreneurial inspiration. Subscribe to the next episode now and join the We Are Women community.